So today we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 11, Chapter 19, and today's verse is Text 19. It's called The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. So we'll read the verse. Bhakti Yoga Purai Vokta Priyamanaya Te Naga Punascha katayishyami mad bhakte karanam param. Bhakti yoga purai vokta priyamanaya te naga. Punascha katayishyami mad bhakte karanam param. Bhakti yoga purai vokta priyamanaya te naga. Punascha katayish yami mad bhakte karanam param. So word for word, bhakti, bhakti yoga, devotional service to the Lord. Pura, previously. Eva, indeed. Aktaha, explain. Priyamanaya, who has developed love. Te, unto you. Anaga, O sinless Uddhava, Punaha, again, Cha, also, Katayishyami, I will explain, Mat, unto me, Bhakte, of devotional service, Karanam, this, the actual means, Param, supreme. So, translation, O sinless Uddhava, because you love me, I previously explained to you the process of devotional service. Now I will again explain the supreme process for achieving loving service unto me. So the purport, although Lord Krishna previously described bhakti yoga to Sri Uddhava, Uddhava is not yet satisfied because he loves Lord Krishna. Anyone who loves the Lord cannot be fully satiated by discussion of devotional service mixed with descriptions of pure Vedic duties and analytical philosophy. The supreme stage of consciousness, of conscious existence, is pure love of Krishna. And one who is addicted to Lord Krishna desires to constantly drink the nectar of such topics. Lord Krishna has given an extensive survey of many aspects of human civilization, including the Varnashram Dharma system and the processes of distinguishing between matter and spirit, renouncing sense gratification, and so forth. Now Uddhava is hankering to hear specifically about pure devotional service to Lord Krishna, and the Lord thus turns to that topic. Omagana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Kam Vanchakapa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyabhacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So you may hear some sound effects in the back. They're working in the back there, so sorry about that. So today's chapter is entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. So Uddhava, Sri Uddhava, he's continuing to inquire from Lord Krishna, and he's asking him so many questions. And even though Krishna is, like in today's verse, he's answered so many of Uddhava's questions, and he says, I've even already discussed to you about devotional service. But now Uddhava, he wants to hear specifically about pure devotional service. So what is the difference between spiritual knowledge and material knowledge? Well, spiritual knowledge is knowledge which reawakens our natural understanding of Krishna, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's also the source of everything that exists. So to be transcendental means to go beyond the illusory conditions of relativity. We call this a relative world because everything's existence is dependent on its relationship with something else. Wow. So Krishna explains that after cultivating so many varieties of knowledge, when one finally comes to the perfection of true knowledge, our spiritual knowledge, one understands that simply that Krishna is the source of everything. And whatever we learn, even in our schools or our jobs or throughout our life, we should be conscious of the fact that Krishna is the source of everything, and that ultimately all this is meant to be brought or offered back to its source, to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he sometimes gives the example that just like the oceans, they evaporate, the water evaporates, and it goes up into the atmosphere, and it becomes a cloud. And then the clouds, they're carried by the wind, and rain falls back to earth, and it forms rivers. And these rivers, they ultimately flow like thousands of miles back into the ocean. So in the same way, all knowledge, everything that exists, comes from Krishna. And even in this world, we may use so much of what Krishna's energy that he's given us, because we know factually that even material knowledge comes from Krishna. But when we utilize it like the holy rivers to bring it back to its source in serving Krishna, then that's called bhakti. That's called yoga. And that is what is real knowledge. How to use everything for the purpose of serving Krishna. And we should understand that knowledge without understanding from where this knowledge has come and where it's meant to ultimately go, this is called ignorance. But when we understand the source of everything, the source of this body, the source of this, our minds, our earth, the source of everything that exists is Krishna, then that's what's called real spiritual knowledge. Krishna says that all things in the spiritual world and all things in the material world are coming from me alone. And the wise who know this perfectly engage all these things in my service, and they worship me with all their hearts. So this is the beginning of knowledge, to understand how God is the source of everything. So if that's the beginning, then what is the end, or what is the purpose of knowledge? Well, the purpose is to know how to use everything for the pleasure of the Lord. And that's the process that's described in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what's called real spiritual knowledge. So if we utilize our education, our occupation, our time with this understanding that it's all ultimately meant to be offered back to Krishna, just like the rivers are flowing back into the ocean, then we can reawaken our real transcendental nature and reawaken our love for Krishna, which we know is actually lying dormant in our hearts. But Srila Prabhupada says that now the society that we live in today is society of the blind leading the blind. In the New Testament, also even Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. And Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he also says the same thing, that when the blind lead the blind, they actually fall into a ditch. So people are actually taking other people's opinions, but they don't really realize or bother to understand what is the real goal of life. So if we try to understand the source or the purpose of something, then we're on the path to knowledge. So in order to illustrate how easily people of all levels can be misled by so-called public opinion, Srila Prabhupada once told a story, and this is a story of Sarval Singh. So there was this man, he was sitting there and he was crying, and then another man, he had shaved his head, and another man walked up and said, "Why are you crying? What's making you so sad?" And the man said, "You haven't heard?" He said, "Sarval Singh died." And so the man thought this must be an important person, so he didn't ask who Sarval Singh is. He just thought, "Wow, Sarval Singh died." So he went home and he shaved his head and told his family, and they all started crying. And then the villagers saw them and they said, what's going on? And he said, didn't you know Sarval Singh has died? And they're all thinking, wow, this must be a really important person. So They all shaved their heads and they all started crying. And then the king came walking by at that time, and the king saw all the villagers crying and everything, and he said, why is everybody so sad? And they said, well, you haven't heard that Sarval Singh died. And the king, you know, he didn't want anybody to think he didn't know who Sarval Singh was. So he thought, wow. So he went back to his palace and he told his minister, he said, you know, we have to shave our heads and we have to start lamenting because Sarval Singh died. And finally, the minister, he was the only one that was humble enough to ask, well, who is Sarval Singh? And the king said, you don't know who he is? And he said, no. And the king said, well, I don't really know who he is either. So then the king went back to the village and he said, who is Sarval Singh? And the villager said, you don't know who Sarval Singh is? And the king said, no. And they said, well, we don't know who he is either. So then they went back to the family that started all this, and they asked him, and they said, well, actually, we really don't know who he is either. So they originally went back to the man that was sitting there crying, and they said, who is Sarval Singh? And the man said, oh, you don't know who Sarval Singh is? He said, I'm a washerman, and every day I use my donkey to pull my cart, and my donkey's named Sarval Singh, and he just died. So this is, just shows an example of how people can just be misled, by public opinion. So, so when everybody heard this, everybody was so embarrassed, that, you know, wow, this whole time we've been crying for a donkey and that died, you know. I was thinking, like, if you remember in the old Westerns, there would be somebody in jail, and one guy would say, hey, let's hang him. And then another guy would say, yeah, let's hang him. And before you know it, there's a huge crowd saying, hang the guy. And most of the people, they didn't even know who the guy was or what he did or anything. They just wanted to be part of the hanging group, you know. So we're simply accepting people's, how people would say, you know, what their conclusions are of what is actually truth and what is actually reality. People are telling us, you know, throughout society, people say, well, you know, if you really want to be happy, you can have lots of money, you can have a good job, or you have a nice family. If you do these things, then you'll be happy. But we know that really nobody out there is actually truly happy, and that's the problem. But even though we've seen it over and over again, we still believe that we can find happiness in this world. And Srila Prabhupada says this is a great illusion. It's just like the politicians. I was thinking, every election they say, well, we're going to lower taxes, and people believe it every year and they never do it, you know. So in this way, people, they're working so hard, they're struggling and struggling to get more and more material assets and more material knowledge, thinking that this is what's actually going to give them happiness. And I was thinking, I bet if you went out and you took a survey and you asked people, okay, if you had one wish for something that would make you happy, what would you wish for? And I bet probably 75-80% of the people would say, if I just had more money, if I just had more money, then I think I would be happy. Even though they see that people that actually have money and they have fame, generally these people are even more miserable than they are. So how much money does it take? How much money do people need to be happy? I remember reading that most of the people that win the lottery, like win millions of dollars, most of them say that it actually ruined their life. They were more miserable, you know, after winning the lottery than they were before. And I remember a few years back, the stock market really took a dip. And people lost, a lot of their savings and things, and people were jumping off buildings. And there was this one man, for some reason I remember this, that there was this one story where this man had something like $30 or $40 million, and he lost everything but $10 million. He only had $10 million left in the bank, so he killed himself. Like, he couldn't live on $10 million. So it's, you know, people just think, well, if I could just have money, then I'll be happy. So there's a joke that kind of goes along with this. Is this dean of the college, he was having a staff meeting, and noise. He was having a staff meeting, and he had all his professors around, and so they were having this meeting, and all of a sudden this angel appeared above the table, and the angel told the dean, you can have one of three things. You can either have great fame, you can have $25 million, or you can have all knowledge. So the dean, he immediately picked all knowledge. And so all of a sudden the angel kind of zapped him, and he's sitting there, and all the professors are looking at him, and he's just kind of stunned, and they said, hey, now that you have all knowledge, you know, tell us something. Give us some knowledge. And he looked up and he said, I should have taken the money. That's, you know, that's just the way it is. I read that. It said, if you really want to know what God thinks about money, you just have to look at the people he gave it to. That's what God thinks about money. So, but this is all an illusion, and it's stated in an earlier purport in this same chapter that if we falsely identify ourselves as a material body or mind, then we're creating an illusion. It's all an illusion. And we know who's responsible for this illusion. It's Maya. She is very good at what she does, and she's creating this illusion that, you know, just enjoy, just try to enjoy and, you know, have so much prosperity and all these things. And that if you do these things, then that's what's going to make you happy. And we just keep, even though we see it over and over again, people aren't happy. We keep just thinking, okay, well, but I'm an exception. You know, if I do it, I'll be happy. But we know by his mercy that Krishna, he descends, or he either comes or he sends his pure representatives again and again within this world. And he sends them just to tell us who really this Sarva Singh really is, that set the truth straight, that we shouldn't become donkeys, like donkeys, that we should all understand that we're under the wrong conception of reality or truth, because ultimately we're not this material body. Ultimately, no amount of material knowledge or pleasure is going to be able to give us happiness. And Srila Prabhupada, he used to use sometimes the example of the bird in a cage. And I remember when I was growing up, in the Baptist church, and our preacher, he would use this example sometimes. And for some reason, it stuck with me. But once there was this lady, and she went into this pet shop, and she bought this really nice bird cage with the bird. And so when she took it home, she would just constantly, every day, she would polish the cage, and she would put flowers on it and just make it really nice. And so finally one day one of her neighbors came over, and she said, oh, I want you to take a look at my bird cage and my bird. So the neighbor comes over, and he says, yeah, it's a really, really nice bird cage. And he said, let me see the bird. So he opens the cage, and the bird's dead. So Srila Prabhupada, he used an example that our body is like a cage. And the soul is actually that bird or that person inside the cage or inside the body. And he says human society throughout the world has forgotten what are the actual needs of the soul, the needs of the real person, the actual person. Because in the name of science and technology, you know, we're becoming very expert at trying to decorate the body, decorate this cage. We're trying to get more and more of, you know, various types of material enjoyment. In this world, you know, and some people may say, hey, well, you know, I'm happy. You say, you know, I'm not happy, but I'm actually happy. But Srila Prabhupada says, well, you just observe them for a while and you'll actually see that how happy they actually are. I remember I was listening to a class by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and when he left home at the age of 18, he got a letter from his parents, and his parents said, his father said, you know, we miss you. If you would just come home, your mother and I would be so happy. And he said, I lived there for 18 years, and I never saw you happy. So why should I come home now, you know? So even though we may see that there's a little happiness in the world, we have to understand that any given moment, we can be put into a suffering condition. And we see so many examples today. I mean, here's these people. They're sitting in a church, which you think a church is probably one of the safest places you can be. And you're sitting there and you're singing hymns to, and all of a sudden this guy walks in and, he starts shooting people, you know? So, and then there was the example, I was thinking that this Las Vegas shooting that happened, there was this man and woman, and when the shooting started, well, he covered his wife, and all around him, bullets were bouncing and people were getting shot and everything. And then after it was all over, they were thinking, how fortunate that we didn't get shot, you know? So they get in their car to drive home and they're thinking, oh, we were so fortunate. And then this truck comes across the median and hits them head on and kills both of them. So at any moment, you know, we think, you know, we're going to live forever, but at any moment, this things can happen. So Prahlad Maharaj, he explains that if you want to find happiness, he says it's really easy. He said there is a formula for finding happiness. He said if you want to find happiness, stop trying to find happiness in this material world. He said if you simply stop looking for joy through the body and through the senses, then you won't have to suffer as much. That's what's causing our suffering. But as long as we're seeking the gratification of the mind and the senses, he said, you're going to be frustrated life after life. So this is the nature of the material world. At any moment, something could happen to, you know, spoil our happiness. Because, like we said, the body is just like a cage. And Krishna, he comes to tell us that all this propaganda, and Srila Prabhupada tells us, all this propaganda that everyone's in telling us that, what is the old saying? Eat, drink, and be merry. Be happy. You get a good education. You get a good job. You get a good family. You get lots of money. That's the purpose of life. That's what will make you happy. And Prabhupada says it's all a lie. It's all an illusion. Because what's happening is because the soul is starving, just like the bird in the cage. And what does the soul want? What is it starving for? Well, it's starving for love. The soul wants love. That's soul food for the soul. And the soul is eternal and it needs real love. And only that love, that kind of love can come from Krishna. When we came into this material world, our love actually was turned into lust. And now we have to use this rare gift that we have of this human body to reawaken our love for Krishna. And we've all heard the example of the fish out of water. Everyone's heard that example that you take a fish out of water, you can give him a new car, a new Mercedes, you can give him a house, you can give him $1 million, but the fish is never going to be happy. And why? Because he's out of his element. He's not going to be happy until you put him back in the water, which is his element. And because Krishna says that without knowledge of one's own spiritual personality, of who we actually are, that we're spirit soul, he said it's not possible to create love. It's not possible to cultivate love of God. We're spirit souls, so we have to be put back into our element and understand that. But even though this body may be temporary, we can still use it to serve an eternal purpose. And that purpose is devotional service, is devotion to God. Then we can become closer to God, and we can also, it's our duty to also try to give this spiritual knowledge to others. And it doesn't matter if somebody's rich or poor, or man or woman, or black or white, or yellow or green, or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Brahmachari called Suklambar Brahmachari. So this Suklambar Brahmachari, he was very poor. He almost had nothing. He had a little hut. His clothes were all torn and tattered. And he was a beggar. Like we can go up to the 7-Eleven here and we see, you can't help but run into so many beggars, you know. But he was not like those beggars. He would go from house to house and he would collect whatever little food he could. And the whole time he was chanting the holy names. He was chanting Hare Krishna. And then at the end of the day, he would go back and he would take that, whatever he had, and it's usually, you know, husked rice or something people didn't want anyway, so they gave it to the beggar. And he would offer that to Krishna every day. And so one day he was walking by Srivas Pandit's house, and they were having this huge kirtan. So he went and joined into the kirtan, and he was dancing so blissfully, so tears coming from his eyes, and he was so ecstatic that all the other devotees were just watching him, and they were thinking, this man has nothing. He doesn't even have food to eat, and look how blissful he is. And it was saying why, you know, they were trying to understand why is this man so blissful? And it's because he wasn't really trying to enjoy through his body or senses. He was enjoying chanting the holy name of the Lord, and he was in such ecstasy. When he was dancing and everything, and then Lord Chaitanya, he came over to this Sukalambar Brahmachari, and he said, you know, you actually were my devotee life after life. He said, okay. So Lord Chaitanya, he called him over and he said, you are actually my servant birth after birth. He said, you've come to me before as a beggar. He said, once before when I was in Dwarka, you came to me in the form of Sudama Brahman. And he said, at that time you were also a beggar. And he said, I took some rice from your bag, chipped rice. And he said, when I ate that, it gave me so much pleasure. He said, my great pleasure is to simply take what offering you give to me. And then Lord Chaitanya, he reached into Sukumbar's bag. He was trying to keep him from doing it. And he reached in and he grabbed a handful of this like husked rice. And it was like dirty chip type of rice, like I said, things that people wouldn't normally give a beggar. And so Lord Chaitanya, he started to eat this rice. And as he was chewing on the rice, Lord Chaitanya was feeling all such great ecstasy. And Sukalambar Brahmachari, he said, Lord, my Lord, please don't eat this. He said, this is not fit for you. And Lord Chaitanya replied, and as he was eating the rice, he said, taking the husked chip rice of my devotee tastes like the sweetest nectar to me. He said, but I will never accept even nectar from someone who has no devotion. So Lord Chaitanya was, you know, he was saying, you offer this to me every day, and I relish this because it's made with love. And so, you know, we hear according to the Vedas that if you want to offer something to God, actually you have to chant so many mantras, you have to do so many mudras, otherwise the Lord really doesn't accept it. But all these rituals, Srila Prabhupada, all these rituals, they're really meant for those who have very little or almost no devotion. But Lord Chaitanya, he's showing us through this pastime that for someone who has pure devotion, they actually transcend all these rules and regulations as far as the rituals of the Vedas. And they've understood that what is the real essence is to offer something with love. And we'll see in this next chapter that actually Uddhava Prabhu, he actually asked Krishna this question. He was saying that there seems to be some contradiction here, because you're saying that in one part you're saying we should follow the Vedas, but then in the other thing you're saying that actually there's something that transcends the Vedas. So can you explain that? And Krishna will explain that in the next chapter. So Lord Chaitanya, in exchange for these pieces of rice, he offered Sukalambar Brahmacharya benediction. He said, today I grant you eternal loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after he gave this benediction, all the devotees that were gathered there, they started to jump and chant Hare Krishna. And because we know that there's nothing more powerful than the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said it's the most powerful of all medicines. So in this world, we all have what's called heart disease. And it's the disease of false ego, of being selfish, of thinking I'm me and mine. So someone takes to Krishna consciousness, Krishna actually wants to see that we really want to get better. We really want to recover from this disease. So just because you become a devotee, don't think there's not going to be tests. Krishna, there will be suffering. There will be tests. But if we regularly take this medicine of the holy name, then Krishna also promises that all these anarthas, all these unwanted desires of the heart, they'll be removed. They'll be removed by taking this medicine. So now we may still, I know I do, we may still have so many attachments, because it's the nature of the soul to become attached to something or someone. It's our nature. But Srila Prabhupada says we're attaching ourselves to the wrong things. As there used to be a song, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. So we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And so it says the soul will never become happy or satisfied until we actually turn that attachment to Krishna. But we also see sometimes that devotees, they can become attached to each other. And some of my, you know, Prabhupada says that, but you have to understand that this is actually a different type of attachment, because in this type of attachment, Krishna is at the center. And because our consciousness is always working together and to try to serve Krishna and to remind each other about Krishna, then Srila Prabhupada says to the degree that devotees become attached to each other, to that degree, they naturally help one another to become attached to Krishna, to become Krishna conscious. So we're not saying that you shouldn't be attached to people in this world. But what he's saying is that you have to learn to be attached for the right purpose. So that attachment that is going to ultimately lead to Krishna. So to completely reject this material world, Srila Prabhupada calls that incomplete renunciation. It's not real renunciation. He said the spirit soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, will never find real satisfaction just by negating everything in this world, you know, where everything is negative. He said we have to become attached to Krishna, because their very name, Krishna and Rama, it means the source of pleasure. It's the all-attractive Lord to every living being. He's the all-attractive lover of every living being. And Srila Prabhupada says that within this world, everyone has to perform various activities. We have to work a job. We have to do so many things to maintain our life. But our motivation is what determines the actual result, the actual goal of life, is our motivation. Why are we doing these things? Are we actually returning these things that Krishna gives us, everything in this material world? Are we bringing it back to the source, just like we say the rivers bring the water, the rain, back to the source? So if we simply use our energy and whatever skills we may have to glorify and serve Krishna, and also at the same time try to give this knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, to others, then just like the name of this chapter is called spiritual knowledge, then that's what is real spiritual knowledge, and that's what's actually will perfect our lives, to understand first of all what is a material world, and then what is its connection to God? How can we use these things to reconnect with God, to reawaken our love for God? So that's everything I have to say. So does anyone have any comments or questions? Or
it'd be one thing if it's like, okay, 5 minutes a day, you're right, comes and kind of gird yourself up, but it's just like,
yeah, we're bombarded with this every day. Everywhere you go, you know, it's like there's signs. You go into a mall. I remember the first time I ever went into a mall with His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. And there was music playing, and there was just stores everywhere. And he, you know, he hadn't been in a mall in like years. And so he looked around and he said, man, these people don't stand a chance. It's like you're just bombarded with, you know, material enjoyment, things that you become attached to, you know. So, Maya's really good at what she does. I don't know if you heard when I was telling Dharma Prabhu that it's like the politicians, every year they say one of their whole things is, I'm going to lower taxes. Every year they say that, and every year we believe it. We vote for that person, but nobody ever does it. So we're we're all like, you know, and I don't know, I guess we're like sheep or whatever. We just, we hear these things, and for most people, that's all they have. They don't have anything else, you know, to fall back on or to have faith in. So that's why it's our duty to try to, you know, tell these people, even though, you know, some of them may not listen, some will listen and understand, because they are suffering. We hate to paint this world as such a bad, bad place, but it is, there's going to be suffering in life for sure, especially as you get older. I mean, geez, you know, there's birth, old age, and disease. And I think I'm past the old age. Now I'm in the disease part, you know, because it comes, you know, and you look back and, you know, 70 years have gone by and you think, you know, because it sounds like a long time, but 70 years just, you know, it just went like that. I'm thinking, what did I do in this life, you know? But also how fortunate I was that actually I was able to meet a devotee, you know. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough, but it's easy. It's, you know, Prabhupada said, it's, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj said that, you know, there's a simple formula. Just stop trying to find sense enjoyment and, you know, with your mind and senses, and turn that to Krishna. And then you know, your suffering will, you know, it may not end totally, but you'll actually understand it and be able to accept it, you know. So, all right. So, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Jai. Thank you, everyone. Jai. Jai.